You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, John Budden and John O'Connell in the studio. We've got three jumps meetings throughout the afternoon, Kempton, Ludlow and Wincanton. We've got evening racing as well on the all-weather at Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio, Mr. Alistair Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man.
Yeah.
We're seeing far too much of each other at the moment, Alistair. On air together on Saturday, podcast on Sunday.
It's lovely.
It is. It's nice. We've got a big week of racing coming up, of course. Starts on Thursday at Aintree for the Grand National meeting. So we're going to have a little bit of a glance towards that. We had a nice little chat on air on the Saturday as well about previous Grand Nationals and favourite Grand National winners and such, and the way the race has changed over the years as well. Despite the changes to the race, it's still an absolute spectacle. It's still what gets a lot of people into racing. It's great stuff, isn't it? You must be looking forward to the National.
Oh God, yeah. The National for me is the highlight of the year. Always has been. You know, sort of, if it wasn't for the Grand National and the exploits of Red Rum, I wouldn't have ever got into racing. So without doubt, the Grand National is the, you know, for me, it's a highlight. I love the Grand National meeting. I prefer the Grand National meeting as a betting meeting than Cheltenham, because you've got all you're armed with all the festival clues, you know, and you know, it can't come soon enough. Obviously, it's very much weather dependent. I think there's a lot of rain forecast this week, but they do get it wrong, you know, the forecasters, don't they? So it'll be interesting to see, you know, sort of assessing things really in the start of next week, when we should get a better idea of actually how much rain they're going to get, because it will have a massive bearing.
Yeah, it's one of the only jobs where you can get it completely wrong and nobody cares.
Exactly. Yeah, it's yeah. How they keep their jobs, I'll never know. I should have been a weather forecaster.
Yeah, well, you don't get much right, so yeah, you'd have.
Indeed.
Oh, I kid. Yeah. What we're going to get out of Alistair on this podcast is a little bit of a look at the Thursday, the Friday and the Grand National. So we're going to get plenty of tips from our pundits. Today we're going to get his best bet on the Thursday, best bet on the Friday, tip for the National as well. So just want to mention a little bit of news that's come out about the racing at Aintree as well. We're not going to say Altior at Aintree. The preference for him is to wait until sundown and run in the celebration chase, which means that the Melling looks like it might be at the mercy of Politolog, because Min might not run. Paul Nicholls said that he's got Politolog ready for the race, but he wouldn't run if Altior did. So it's all falling into place for him.
Yeah, it's opportunity knocks, really, isn't it? You know, for Politolog, who is a very good horse in his own right, as we know, but he's not up to beating the best. Altior, you know, has got his number, and the best Irish horses will have too. So with them staying away, providing that Min does, then this really is a gilt-edged opportunity to thought for Politolog. You know, you've got Cloudy Dream in there, you know, you've got Forest Behan, but Le Prezien will probably run in the Red Rum over 2 miles, I'd have thought, in the handicap company. You know, it looks his to lose, really, I suppose. Whether he's a horse he'd want to be back in it, I don't know what, you know, with Altior out, what he'll be. But
he's 3-1 at the moment.
3-1, without Altior?
Yeah, Min's the 6-4 favourite there. 3-1 Politolog, Balco de Fleur 4-1, 6-1 Cloudy Dream, 13-2 Barlow.
Yeah, it's hard taking a stance this far. I mean, the Ryanair winner, Balco de Fleur, would obviously be a big danger over 2.5 mile around Aintree, beat under so. You know, that's absolute, you know, with a pair totally dominant, it's rock solid form.
Yeah.
You know, if those two turned up, then it would be, you know, Politolog would definitely be up against it. But it'll be an intriguing race. I think, you know, one of those three should win it, really. Cloudy Dream would be the other one. 3 miles too far for him. 2.5 mile round Aintree is probably about his optimum.
Yeah.
He could be a lively one. But again, he's another one of these. You know, he just doesn't win as often. I wouldn't say he doesn't win as often as he should. He's just become a very hard horse to place, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and banging his head against, you know, the better horses, he's always going to come up just that bit short.
Mm. Alice has got stronger opinions on a couple of the other races at Aintree. First of them on the Thursday, the Bull, Aintree Bull Chase, where Mike Bite is a short price favourite, 4-7. Balco de Flo in that market as well, at 7-2. Bristol de Mare, 6-1. 8-1 Definitely Red, Double Shuffle, 8-1 as well. 14s for Clan de Zerbo and T for 2. 20-1 or bigger prices for the rest. A lot of people will be looking at Mike Bite there and thinking this could be a good opportunity for him to bounce back. Personally, I'd have my reservations given how hard a race he had in the Gold Cup, where Native River just broke him, really, didn't he? Broke his heart in the race.
Yeah, you know, a horse would never have a harder race in defeat than what he had. He literally, he's going to take, it was on tiring ground. They went hell for leather throughout, you know, some performance. Even in defeat, you know, it was a great effort.
Yeah. Well, you take Native River out of it. He's won the Gold Cup. Very impressive.
Absolutely, yeah. And he looked as though he'd win. He looked as though he'd beat Native River turning in. But as he said, he just got outground on that, you know, under those conditions. I think on better ground, he could well beat Native River next year. But and that's a concern. Not only is, you know, the impact that race has had on him, but also whether, you know, if the forecast is right, then say it was soft ground, and then that only makes things even tougher for him, you know. So I think it's very prohibitive odds. We've got to try and get him beat. I know he won at the meeting last year after winning the RSA, but, you know, he didn't have nothing like as hard a race as what he'd have had in the Gold Cup. So, for me, he's there to be taken on at short price. He definitely gives the race a good shape.
Yes. With the ground, as expected, there is a horse in there that I know you quite like against my bite as well.
Yeah, Bristol de Mare is a horse there. You wouldn't entirely set your clock by him, but he's very good with significant cut underfoot, and he's very good fresh. So the fact he's back from 75 days off is a major positive. If he gets his ground, you know, he swerved Cheltenham. He's also had a wind operation since we last saw him. You know, if it's really testing ground, I think he'd be an absolute sterling bet, I do.
Yeah. 6-1 he is in the market at the moment for that Aintree Bull. In terms of the Friday, you've picked a race that's quite tricky. Well done. Kudos to you for picking this as your best bet. The Alder Hay Children's Charity Handicap Hurdle. 10-1 the field.
Yeah, I just think this early doors of Aidan O'Brien's is very interesting. Again, he did have a hard race at Cheltenham when third to Blow by Blow in the... what was it? In the 2.5 mile handicap, the Martin Pipe, yeah. I just think this horse is on a decent market despite that defeat. I know Blow by Blow didn't exactly enhance the form at Fairy House last week, but that's him all over, really. He's not one to entirely trust, and you know, early doors has got very solid form. Even before that in Ireland, he was obviously was hammered by Sam Crow in a Grade One, but no disgrace in that, and before then finished second to Mengli Khan, of course, in a Grade One at Fairy House, the form of which looks good. If Mengli Khan was running in here, then everybody would be going nuts about him, you know, and you'd like to think the top weight would stay in, and if he does, an early doors will get in on 11-4. And if Mengli Khan was in this race off 11-4,
it
wouldn't be 10-1. Yeah, it's a nutty race. It's going to be maximum field, but you know, early doors has done nothing wrong in his novice campaign. The better he runs, he'll have novice options as well, and obviously not just at Aintree, but also Punchestown. So everything's in the melting pot, really. But if he did run, you'd have to be interested.
I want to keep an eye on then early doors. Currently a 10-1 chance for that handicap hurdle at Aintree on Friday. Let's talk about the big one then, the Grand National itself. We've got 10-1 co-favourites of 3 at the moment: Black Lion, Tiger Roll, and Total Recall. It's 12-1 for Annabelle Fly, 16-1 Manila Rocco, The Last Samurai 16-1, 20-1 See You at Midnight. Gold Present is 22-1, 25s for I Just Know and Uccello Conti, 33-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. Looks a good renewal of the Grand National. Well, they're always good renewals, aren't they? But some real classy horses. We mentioned yesterday when we were talking about the race how it's getting classier every year, isn't it? The handicap now, the way it works, we're getting these real top-class animals in there, and it's no change.
You know, a combination of the very good prize money, obviously the prestige of the race, and the fact that they are handicapped to be very competitive, you know, the classier horses, because the weights are so compressed. But even so, it's still, if you look at the history books, it takes a hell of a lot of, you know, class to be competitive off a big weight. Most Grand Nationals are still dominated by horses with less than 11 stone.
So that would be a problem for Black Lion, wouldn't it?
be a problem for all the leader, all the market leaders. Yeah. They're all wide up there. You know, Black Line's only one off the top. Manella Rocco's top weight. Total Recall and Annabelle Fly right behind them. You know, for me, they've all got to be taken on purely from a weight perspective. And also, there's other circumstances. You know. Behind, for me, what a negative profile. Total Recall, you know, how many times Total Recall had a really hard race in the Gold Cup. I know he fell three out, but he'd have definitely endured a tough race. And it was a horrible fall as well, you know, and that's going to knock his confidence, has to. So how many national winners fell last time out? I don't know off the top of my head, but it's not the ideal prep. Annabelle Fly, again, would have had a really hard race. I think only in 40 years, only five winners of the National have come out of the Gold Cup, the last being Many Clouds, but he finished sixth.
Yeah.
So therefore didn't, you know, he wasn't involved in the real heat of the battle in the closing stages. So I think the last horse to be really competitive in the Gold Cup and win would have been Rough Quest. Garrison Savannah, of course, was absolutely thrown in at Aintree on the back of his Gold Cup run and got beat. He was maybe unfortunate to do so, but even so, he still got beat. So I'd have my concerns about those two. Tiger Roll, of course, won at Cheltenham. No Cheltenham Festival winner has won the National since Seagrim. So, you know, plenty have tried. Mm. So I think he'll go a favourite, I think, yeah, with the Gordon Elliott, Davy Russell factor. And he's a popular horse as well, you know, and he probably will take to the place, and he's got every chance. He's the one I'd like most out of the market leaders. But that statistic about, you know, not winning the National after winning at Cheltenham is just too strong a stat to ignore, I think. I know Cause for Causes nearly did the same double 12 months ago, but again, yeah, he still found one too good. So Manella Rocco has got a lot to prove for me. Everybody's saying, well, he's going to return to form. He's had a wind operation, I believe. But again, he's risky enough with top weight. The last Samurai was hammered out of sight in it 12 months ago. So there you go. You've got the top six there in the market.
So what do you go with then? There's obviously value beyond the top six.
Yeah. Uccello Conti is a horse I'd like really be interested in on good ground. But he didn't get home on good to soft the one time he got round. So he needs good ground. And if the forecast's right, then he ain't going to get it. In terms of trends, Seeing Midnight is an absolute standout. He was thought good enough to run in the RSA as a novice. He's got placed form in a Scottish National as well, so we know he stays. He's been trained for the race. Scotland, they won it with Rob Stick in 79. They had to wait a long time to win it again last year. Whether they'll win it back-to-back or not, you'd probably think, well, no, but it shouldn't happen. But that's garbage. Thinking really, because if it's going to happen, you can't treat that as a negative. The fact that Scotland have only ever won it twice, he doesn't know where he's trained. So
he's got a Scottish accent, as CEO of Midnight.
Has he now?
Yeah.
I wasn't totally taken by his run the other week when they had to get a race into him, Newbury.
Yeah.
But in fairness to him, the trip was totally inadequate, and it was obviously a stepping stone to this, so he's got to be a player. Another one we mentioned actually when we were on air Saturday night was I Just Know, Sue Smith horse, who was beaten in a Utoxeter novice hurdle last time, but as we know, many a Grand National winner in recent years has been campaigned over hurdles, and before then he won a staying handicap at Catterick in really good fashion. I think that form's strong, so that'd be my two against the field at fancier odds.
Okay. I Just Know 25-1, See You at Midnight 20-1, and if the ground by some miracle is good, Uccello Conti 25-1 as well.
Yeah,
in the market there. So that's a little bit of a look ahead to the entry of the Grand National. Got all that to look forward to later on in the week, but we're going to now concentrate on the action on Monday. We've got decent card at Kempton over the obstacles. Alistair's picked out two races for us. The first of them is the 3:05, which is a novices limited handicap chase, class 4 event over 3 miles. We've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. Who'd you like in there, Alistair?
I think they'll be going 4-1 the field in this. It looks quite open. I'm going to go for number 2, a horse trained by Evan Williams called Back de Clermont, who has been off for 110 days. He's a consistent. He's only run 3 times over fences, but he was a close second at Fakenham on the second start, and then went third at Ludlow last time in what was a pretty warm novice chase. Both the winner has been prolific since, and the second's come out and won as well. So the form's worked out really solid, and I reckon he'd have actually won that race, but for a really bad late mistake. I think it was 2 out. He absolutely throttled the fence, and But for that, I think back to Clermont would have won. I think he's on a decent mark. He is back from quite a break here, but the stable had a winner at the weekend at Uttoxeter, and he's got potential for the longer trip as well at 3 miles. Definitely on breeding, he should stay.
Back to Clermont, the selection for Alistair in that 3:05 then, and the next selection comes up in the next race, the 3:35, a novice's hurdle over the extended 3 miles, a field of 11. We'll go to post for this one. What do you like in there?
Yeah, this is a really, really competitive novice hurdle for this time of year. You know, most novice hurdles, you sort of get, you know, they bet 4-5, 5-2, and then 50s bar or whatever. But this, there's a whole host here with chances, and it's a really good race. I'm going to go with horse of Alan King's, who I think will be value here, because Wayne Hutchinson is on the stable's other one, but I don't think I'd be reading too much into that, and that's number 8, Crick Rock. I think Follow the Bear could well be favourite for this, and Crick Rock was made favourite to beat Follow the Bear over course and distance last May. He didn't jump well enough, he pulled too hard. I think we can put a line through that. He's got a £7 pull in the weight, so I expect him to definitely finish, you know, not far behind Follow the Bear at worst. Although he's 0-7 over hurdles, that latest fifth in Handicap Company over 2.5 at this track was really encouraging. He was held up in a race that they didn't go very fast. I think with a repeat of that performance and granted a little bit of improvement in a race that could pan out very differently here, I think he's got a good chance. And Tom Cannon actually rode him there. And I just think because he got a decent tune out of him, they've kept him on him.
Yeah.
He's got better form credentials than Alan King's other one, so I really don't think it's that significant that Wayne Hutchinson rides Stockburn instead. Hopefully the market will overreact to that. And, you know, I think Crick Rock is a definite player in what is a competitive race.
Crick Rock, the selection there, then in that 3:35, that goes along with back to Clermont in the 3:05. Thank you very much, Alistair. It's been a real pleasure as always.
Indeed.
Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Great stuff. Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Alistair Jones on Monday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio, live from 1:50 p.m. with Darren Owen, John Budden and John O'Connell in the studio. Kempton, Ludlow and Wincanton, the afternoon meetings, Wolverhampton throughout the evening as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join the guys for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.